Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Mass Financial Services Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanket Chheda from DAM Capital Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, hi. Very good afternoon to all of you. We have with us the entire management team of Mass Financial to discuss their Q1 results. From the management side, we have Mr. Kamlesh Gandhi, who is the Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Sudarshana Pandya, who is Executive Director and CEO, Mr. Dhwanil Gandhi, who is Executive Director, and Mr. Ankit Jain, who is the CFO and Senior Manager. So without further ado, I'll hand the call over to Kamlesh Gandhi, sir, for his opening remarks. We'll follow that up with questions and answers. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sanket, and good afternoon to all of you. I'm very happy to be connected to all of you again in order to take you through the Q1 result. So while every one of you must have gone through the result and the presentation, but I'm very happy to share with you that we could demonstrate a high-quality growth this quarter, consistent to what we have been doing over all these years. This was Friends' 125th quarter of performance. So this is a very long time and a consistent performance in line of what we think. That is what I shared in the press note also, that this is consistent to our belief that steadily and consistently is the fastest way to reach your destination. So we have walked that talk, and we very well intend to do it in future also. On the performance side, what makes me start with the remark of a high-quality growth is the profitability that we could register along with a very strong asset quality also at a 27% on a consolidated basis and 25% on the standalone basis, with a very strong AUM growth of 21%, consistent to our guidance of 20%-25%. So this quarter, we have started moving towards that 20-plus mark, and we see this improving quarter-on-quarter, depending the way we have been in a position to sweat our distribution and depending upon the macro situations from time to time. So all in all, it was a nice quarter. We crossed a very landmark, once again, a landmark of 16,000 crores in AUM. And as consistent to our way of working, that we double our AUM every three and a half years, we are well on track doing the same if you consider 10,000 crores in, say, 24 December. So that is on the headline numbers. If I talk about three very important things, that is asset liability operations, let me take you through all these three important constituents of this business. On the asset, we continue to predominantly focus on our prime segment, that is MSME segment, that we have been doing since long. And we have been in a position to demonstrate a good growth in both our segments that we bifurcate as MEL and SME, with a very stable and a good asset quality. And along with contribution from two-wheelers and commercial vehicle and salaried personal loan, that gives us a flair of diversification to the asset that we create. These assets are created through a very strong distribution of 16,500 centers through over 209 branches and also through our partnership with more than 200 NBFCs, which is now more than a 15-year-old model. So around 33% being contributed by that model and 67% coming through a direct distribution, which we see gradually increasing in favor of direct distribution to 70% plus within the next 8-12 quarters. So on the asset side, we continue to follow the same strategy that we have been following so far. While extending credit, it is due and maintaining the very robust quality of assets. Asset creation was also added by our integration with various tech platforms and our tie-up with a few of the fintechs that helped us to create the assets what we intended to, and also give us an understanding, more understanding of the play of technology in asset creation, which I think all of us will have to learn going forward. On the quality of the assets, we remain very strong at an GNPA of close to 2.58% and an NNPA of 1.70%. Despite probable headwinds of the conflict, which we were expecting in the beginning, but fortunately did not play out because of twin reasons. The first I have to attribute to the resilience of the sector we are working with, the MSME borrowers, and second, our prudent approach to asset creation in extending credit where it is due. Coming on a very important part, that is liabilities, starting from the base of the liabilities, that is the capital. Capital adequacy ratio stood at a very strong 23% plus this quarter also. That forms a very strong base for us to raise the liability and generate the required liquidity at the optimum rates. I was talking to somebody in the morning on the reduction in rates. So, well, we could achieve a reduction of rate this quarter. But we were, say, in 23 or before the COVID set in, and then there were a lot of changes. We used to borrow less than 9% too. So if you ask me personally, I aspire that going forward, given the positive macro environment and the liquidity available, we should move back towards those rates. While this year we did good in reducing our borrowing cost by almost 55 basis point to 9.25 from the erstwhile borrowing cost. We remain very strongly in terms of our ALM management and the liquidity management with, and I would like to thank all the lenders very heartily for being for putting the trust in us, and we always have more liquidity than what we require. Quickly on the operation side, and when we talk about operations, you have to take in the same vein. We are very aware and conscious of the fact that tech and building up of tech, integration of tech in the right earnest should help us and should be the way forward. As I've shared earlier, that we operate on a built and operate module. We have an in-house tech team of close to 100 people consisting of business analysts and software engineers. And with the recent help of AI and all, we see a lot of change, a lot of efficiency creeping in as far as our tech department is also concerned. We have a complete LOS for all the product. LMS has been there since long. LOS is being now added with BRE and to the substantial straight-through processes, albeit with a human intervention, because the borrowers whom we serve also requires a fair amount of human intervention. But that is creating a lot of efficiencies at the credit delivery level. So when we talk about ops, we are talking about much of tech and adoption of tech, and aspiration for the tech plays a very important role. And we, at the top level of the organization, percolating down to the bottom, are aware of the fact and are executing, are trying to execute as efficiently and as swiftly as possible. In terms of HR, let me start human resource with the two developments what we have affected this quarter. One is our CRO, Nishant Jain, who is with the company since last almost 7-8 years. And given his performance and given his contribution on the risk management, has been entrusted to more responsibility as director operations, which will cover credit risk and operations, everything. And he will be reporting to the executive director and CEO. And he'll be looking after operations effective 1st September. And in his place, Darshil Thakkar, Nishant is a qualified chartered accountant. Darshil Thakkar is a qualified chartered accountant, cost accountant, and a company secretary, and a rank holder, and with the company since more than 10 years. was holding a very key position on credit delivery in the SME and the RSE space, has been elevated to the role of CRO. With these changes, I think we are strengthening our middle line of management and creating a very strong succession path within the organization. Going forward, we see such changes happening more frequently. In terms of the team size, all the organizations and especially the financial services, who with the help of technology could trim down on the number of people they employ. We could also reduce the employee count by 380 this quarter, which we will see is reflected in the employee cost also. And that is because of the adoption of technology. While we adopt technology, we consider human resource skill as one of the most important pillar for success. But the only change what I see now is that it will be the survival of the fittest. And it was first in terms of for financial services industry where there was a mad rush to appoint people and people were scared. It was like a fastest finger first moving to survival of the fittest, and that's a development in the right direction. So we continue to pursue HR as one of the important tool to achieve our goal, and we are through our competent HR team, we are doing our best to get the best efficiencies from the team. Quickly on the housing finance side, I am very happy to share the operational numbers in terms of profitability. A strong growth of profitability of 56%. Because of the lower operational cost as we are growing our AUM. We are a striking distance away from 1,000 crores. And candidly, the growth in the housing finance company has to reach its potential of around 35%, which we internally aspire. But having said that, we have always adopted the dictum of prioritizing risk and profitability over just AUM growth. But that does not mean that we have the license to grow only at 22-23%. So we are working very actively to strengthen our distribution system. While in his remark, Dhwanil at the appropriate time will share his plans on expanding our operations in South also as far as housing finance is concerned. So we are very hopeful that within next few quarters, we should see this company inching up on AUM also while maintaining a very strong profitability on the back of operational efficiencies and also the control on the credit cost. Here also, friends, the net NPA is 0.68% and with a sufficient buffer despite of this being 100% secured. So it is and with a 35% capital adequacy and with capital available at need, this company is on a very strong footing. Maybe we have taken some more time in growing the book, but we are in the right direction and it will soon be a value accretive for the parent, which we are confident of. So rather taking much of your time with this, I will hand over to Darshana Ben to take you through the detailed numbers while you already have it. But once again, for the benefit of everyone, she will take you quickly through the numbers, followed by Ankit, and then followed by Q&A. Over to you, Darshana Ben.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everyone. So I'll quickly take you through the key numbers. Coming to the consolidated numbers, as sir shared, we have crossed a milestone of 16,000 crore on consolidated basis as far as AUM is concerned. So it is a growth of around 21% from 13,300 to 16,100 crore. And there is a PAT growth is of 27% from 86 crore to 110 crore. Now, coming to the standalone numbers, what we achieved in the last quarter on consolidated basis, we have achieved on standalone basis. So AUM stands at 15,146 crore. That is 21% growth in AUM from 12,500 crore to 15,146 crore. Total income, there is a growth of around 20% from 442 crore to 530 crore. Profit before tax, there is a growth of 25% from 112 crore to 140 crore. And the profit after tax grew by 25% from 84 crore to 104 crore. If we look at the configuration of the loan book, micro enterprise MSME loan contributes around 77%, wheels is 14%, and salaried personal loan is 9%. There is a growth of around 23% in MEL book, that is from 5,008 crore to 6,152 crore. SME loan, there is a growth of 21% from 4,525 crore to 5,485 crore. Two-wheeler loan, there is a growth of 19% from 871 crore to 1,039 crore. CV loan book grew by 13% from 967 crore to 1,095 crore. And salaried personal loan, there is a growth of 21% from 1,131 to 1,374 crore. Coming to the quality of the portfolio, it remains stable and strong as compared to March 26. So as on June, the gross stage 3 asset is 2.58% and net stage 3 asset is 1.7%, which was 2.57% and 1.7% in March 26. And this is without considering the management overlay of 17.60 crore as on June. Regarding our housing finance company, there is a growth in AUM by 23%. So from 794 crore to 976 crore, total income grew by 30% from 23 crore to 30 crore. Profit before tax grew by 61% from 3 crore 53 lakhs to 5 crore 70 lakhs, and profit after tax, there is a growth of 55% from 2 crore 76 lakhs to 4 crore 27 lakhs. Here also, the portfolio quality remains stable and strong. It is 0.98% gross stage 3 asset and 0.68% net stage 3 asset, which was same in the quarter March 26. So this was about the performance in Q1 for both the companies. Now I'll request Ankit to give us the update on finance and resource management.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am. Good afternoon to all. To elaborate on capital and liability management, on liquidity management, the company continues to maintain a strong liquidity profile through effective liquidity management. During the quarter, we maintain an average liquidity balance of around 1,000 crore. As on June 30, 2026, we had sanctioned borrowing line of more than 1,900 crore across term loans, non-convertible debentures, and direct assignment. With respect to fundraise during the quarter, we executed direct assignment transaction aggregating to rupees 700 crore. In addition, we currently have sanctioned direct assignment lines of more than 700 crore, which we expect to utilize during the quarter. Our objective remains to maintain 20% to 25% of AUM as off-book through direct assignment and other off-book transactions. We have cash credit facility of approximately 1,400 crore spread across 12 banks. We maintain average utilization level of 70 to 75% during the quarter by keeping the unutilized portion available as a liquidity buffer. On the long-term borrowing front, we raised 400 crore through term loans during the quarter with an average maturity profile of 3 to 5 years. We also raised 650 crore through non-convertible debenture, of which 360 crore was subscribed by FMO, the Dutch Development Bank, and rest was through retail and other one was through a bank. Additionally, we have sanctioned borrowing lines of more than 250 crore available for future drawdown. With respect to asset liability maturity pattern, we are well placed whereby we have positive cumulative cash flows across all maturity buckets. With respect to capital adequacy, we remain strong at 23.25%, with Tier 1 capital at 21.94% and debt equity ratio at 3.35 times. Our capital adequacy provides adequate headroom to support our medium-term growth strategy. The average cost of borrowing during the quarter stood at 9.25%, reflecting a reduction of 55 basis points compared to corresponding period last year and around 15 basis points compared to March quarter. Our incremental borrowing cost remains around 9.2 to 9.25%. We expect our cost of borrowing to remain stable. Our borrowing profile continues to remain well-diversified across banks, NCD investors, mutual funds, DFIs, and the direct assignment and other capital market instruments. Overall, we remain adequately capitalized, well-funded, and comfortably positioned to support our business growth while maintaining prudent liquidity, comfortable leverage, and a diversified liability profile. Thank you. Now we are open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ishaq Gupta from Choice Institutional Equity. Please proceed.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. My first question.
Ishaq, can you please speak a little loudly?
Yeah. Am I audible? Is it better?
Yes.
Yeah. So my first question is, can you kindly share the demand that you are observing in the used CV business? Moreover, how has been the collection efficiency as we have witnessed a sharper uptake in the gross NPA vis-a-vis other segments?
If we talk about the demand has been quite robust. But when we talk about eligible demand and on tightening the credit screen given the current crisis and especially on the energy side of it, that is the fuel in use, the commercial vehicle, the eligible demand was slightly less. And as I shared earlier, that we are in the process of calibrating our distribution and product processes as far as commercial vehicle is concerned. And we see to that within next one or two quarters, we'll be in a position to do the volumes along with the desired quality. And in terms of the collection efficiencies, this fluctuation is normal as far as commercial vehicle is concerned, and we see no undue risk on the quality of the portfolio and the losses that can happen because of this fluctuation.
So by when we can see some stronger growth in the used CV business for the year?
I will say 2 quarters away. Because the customary to our style, we would not like to jump on into any product in a very aggressive manner, and especially given the current situation, which is so fluid. So we would like to wait and watch for 1 or 2 quarters before we really see that growing faster.
So my second question would be, given the monsoon has been weaker this year, do we foresee any weakness in credit disbursements for the two-wheeler segment as we witness the degrowth on quarter-on-quarter basis?
Not really, because the degrowth on quarter-to-quarter basis is that usually Q3 and Q4 are a strong quarters for two-wheeler given the seasonality and the festivals being there in Q3 and Q4 in different parts of the country. So Q1 is usually muted. So this is in lines of the normal muted Q1. That we have been seeing mostly over the years. And as far as the rains are concerned, the many part has recouped in terms of the deficiencies in the rain. Now at many places we are facing another problem that they were over flooded. And so now we need to see that how it really spans out. So depending upon the geographies we operate and depending upon the centers we operate, depending up and the ground level information that we gather from our sales collection and the credit teams, we design our credit screen and tighten our credit screens accordingly. So let us see that how that really spans out. It will take some time before we can really comment on that.
Understood. Also, we have witnessed a back-to-back increase in yields and advances for the second quarter. So how sustainable are these yields and what was the primary driver for this increase?
As far as our NIMs are concerned, as I have always maintained, that we would like to work on a spreads of anywhere between 7 to 7.5% and then translating into NIMs of anywhere between 8 to 8.5%. We see that we structure our asset creation in such a manner that the spreads of around 7 to 7.5% are maintained more or less, and that should sustain the yield anywhere between 8 to 8.5%.
Got it. And my last question would be, are we going to witness any further reduction in our cost of funding, given we have already reached our target of 9.2, more or less? Around target of 9.2.
Difficult to comment right now because the cost of borrowing is dependent on the macro situation. So depending upon the RBI policies from time to time and the liquidity available in the market from time to time. But it will be our efforts to see to that we stabilize or reduce. But as Ankit shared with you, that according to Ankit, our CFO, this should remain in this horizon of between 9.2 to 9.3.
Got it. All the best for the coming quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devam Modi from Ardeco Asset. Please proceed.
Yes, congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir. So firstly, just wanted to understand that we understand that your on-book AUM as a percentage of total AUM has risen this quarter. Now, what implications would that have for provisions? And would it mean that, let's say, you would need a more higher level of standard asset provisioning or something like that because your on-book AUM has gone up? And what would be the impact of the same in numbers?
So whenever the on-book asset increases, obviously the corresponding provisions also increases. So if you see that against our 5.5% of Q&Q growth, the on-book assets has increased by 8.25%. So that has caused an increase in provision also. If you see our provisioning in stage 1 and stage 2 has increased from 0.65 to 0.7%. So that is the impact, which translates to roughly around between 5 to 7 crores in provisioning. But the fluctuation on book, off book is constant because it depends upon the opportunity and the rates at what we can assign our portfolio from time to time. So given our capabilities to have a lot of alternate means of funding, we don't compromise on rate of interest and other terms just to keep the portfolio off book, and given our capital, very strong capital adequacy. So off-book is desirable, but not a compulsion on us.
Okay, sure, sir. And sir, we do note that you had been a little cautious on the environment. However, as you mentioned that there is a sheer resilience of the model and probably the overall borrower's profile and all those things. You have managed to overshoot the ROA towards, let's say, greater than 3% for the last two quarters. Given that the environment up, going ahead, you are probably stepping into a relatively more benign environment than the last 6 to 8 quarters, which had other headwinds. What is the kind of ROA range that we should comfortably consider, first part? And the second thing, that how should we see the new branches that we have opened post March 24? How should we see that sweating play out in 27 and 28?
So starting with the second question, the branches by 27 and 28 will definitely sweat or even earlier than that. And on question of ROA, I think we always maintain the 2.75 to 3.25 as a range between which we'll maintain our ROAs. And depending on the environment improvement or deterioration, that is where our credit screen works as a cushion. The only difference is that we have to we get more opportunities to do the business if the environment is good, because we can take a calculated risk as far as our credit screens are concerned, which are tightened in a challenging environment. But at the end of the day, when the dictum of extending credit due is maintained, we are not allowing that to hamper our profitability. So in the same way, it cannot increase our profitability substantially, because that has already been factored in. The difference will be how the ease of doing the business at the ground level in terms of logins to disbursement and in terms of the ticket sizes that we can extend. That might potentially translate into better efficiencies.
Okay, sure. So just if you can clarify, when you say branch sweating should happen before 27 and 28, what are the key numbers to watch out for, and what would it mean in terms of, one is you mentioned efficiency as a thing, what would be the metric to track there, and what would it mean in terms of cost to income?
So obviously the cost to income should stabilize or reduce marginally over a period of time. Our, as I told you, being a diversified product company, taking only cost to income or yield in isolation will not give us the right picture. But taking the complete yield metrics in terms of what are the ROAs that we generate. Because if I have a product which is high yielding but high operating cost, but at the end of the day the ROA is maintained. So once again, the focus will be to maintain ROAs between 2.75 to 3.25%. The sweating of branches will signify that we are at the higher end of the spectrum.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. I repeat, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first question was on credit cost. So now credit costs are around 1.6% of our AUM. And if I look at back 1 year before, they were around 1.2, 1.3% of AUM. Sir, if I look at your share of the direct distribution, that's broadly remained, you know, in the range of 66-67% for the last 2 years. So what explains this higher credit cost?
See, the borrowers who we work with, credit costs will always be range bound. So it will be difficult to maintain a particular number. So we have always maintained that we'll be anywhere between 1.25 to 1.75% on credit cost. And once again, credit cost has to be looked in a perspective of what are the net ROAs we generate. Say, for example, 2 quarters down the line, we grow more on commercial vehicle. The very nature of commercial vehicle business is high yield, high losses. So at the end of the day, it all depends upon what is the asset configuration. But here, increase in from 1.2 to 1. Last time it was around 1.5, and from 1.5 to 1.6 does not reflect on the quality of the assets we generate. And that is well within our tolerance of what yields we generate from those assets. So at the end of the day, these credit costs are well within our tolerance limit, and it will be range bound between 1.5 to 1.75%.
But sir, just to follow up here, I understand there is a mix change, but last year, you know, there was an impact of microfinance, because of which our credit costs had increased last year. In Q4 also, we had taken aggressive write-offs because we were expecting good profit growth. So ideally, the credit cost as a percentage of AUM should have come down, you know, be coming down this year. But that doesn't seem to be, you know, playing out. So some understanding if you could give us.
If I decode the number, there are two which I shared earlier, that our standard asset provisioning, because of our on-book asset being increased higher than what it was last time or before that, had entailed an extra provisioning of anywhere between 6 to 7 crores. So if you take out that 6 to 7 crores of extra provisioning, which that will normalize our credit cost to a far extent. So that was one of the reasons. Plus, we also had a prudent write-off this year. So a combination of everything, that higher on-book portfolio, marginally higher provisioning in our stage one and stage two portfolio, which is in a sort of a sense a buffer. The combination of everything has resulted to whatever numbers we have reached here. But those numbers have not affected our ROAs or profitability.
Understood, sir. And any, like, extra write-offs which you have taken this quarter as well?
So that's a regular feature. So, and anything for any of the assets where we get and we are not very sure of the recovery, that happens. So that write-offs will be there.
Understood. Okay, sir. And sir, any impact of recent floods which we have witnessed in Gujarat, either on asset quality or disbursement growth going forward?
So many part of the Gujarat are still in floods, so it will be difficult for me to assess it right now. But those are all temporary knee-jerk things which over the years we have seen. This is not the first time we are seeing our territories under flood. It has happened very regularly in the past also. So temporarily, their operations might be affected, maybe for a day or two. Once again, they are back to normal. So I don't foresee much of the stress on the quality of the assets, but let us see how it evolves.
Sure, sir. Understood. And now, sir, in the opening remarks, you mentioned that you have been able to bring down the number of employees. So if you could just help us understand in what areas has tech helped us, and going forward as well, do you see this a recurring feature?
Hi. So yes, so there, I think, this is a culmination of last, I think, a year or year and a half hard work in terms of various tech initiatives that we took across the board. So what you see in terms of reduction is two ways. One is tech automating a few things, and that leading to requirement of lower manpower. So we are hopeful that further improvements, further enhancements will help. Difficult to put a number to it right now, because there will also be some periods where we will keep the staff strength, but also test the tech and then implement it once we are very sure about it. So we see this improvement coming in during the year. So difficult to put a number, but yes, I think tech leading to better efficiency, lesser requirement of incremental manpower as the business increases, are two areas that we are looking at actively.
Sir, is it more helping us in collections or underwriting or?
Operations, underwriting.
Okay.
Operations and underwriting majorly. Soft bucket collections, yes. Introduction of bots, introduction of auto allocation, various things. So even origination, wherein some of our partnerships are helping us out there. So I would say it is getting contribution from everywhere: origination, underwriting and operations, and collection, all three of them.
Got it. Understood. And sir, in the opening remarks, you mentioned that we like to take our borrowing cost to 9%, which was, pre-COVID levels. So just wanted to understand what will help us drive that. So is it a credit rating upgrade which you are looking at, or anything else?
So that was more from the sense that we have borrowed at sub nine, and that's the wish ideally, but we also have to look at the market conditions and what is going on in the market. So currently, sub nine immediately within next one or two quarters looks like a far-fetched assumption. Now, on the contrary, even if we are able to maintain this at the current level, considering the overall macro situation where inflation numbers are on the fence, RBI is also on the fence in terms of rate hike and all. So I think the first target for us is to maintain this at 9.25 to 9.3. Then we can, maybe one or two quarters down the line, once overall macro stabilizes, we can again go back to the drawing board and see what avenues we have for reduction in rate. But credit rating upgrade, yes, is something that we are pursuing actively. We can't say when, but that's one thing that can have an impact on the borrowing cost.
Got it, got it. And just lastly, on the housing finance.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Aditya, but can you please rejoin the queue?
Yes.
Thank you. A request to all participants, please restrict your questions to two questions per participant. For more questions, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Madhu Chanda from MC Pro. Please proceed.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Yeah.
So my question is on, you know, on this West Asia crisis, which started when we were in Q4, and it has kind of lingered on through Q1, and now we are in Q2. So have you seen any change in terms of demand or stress in any particular pocket because of the crisis lingering on for so long?
As soon as this crisis came into existence, we could preempt that which were the areas that could be likely affected, and we tightened our credit screens on those areas. That is more precisely on the energy dependent businesses. So we were very cautious on the energy dependent businesses on how we will extend the credit to them. So fortunately, that played out well for us, that we did not face much stress. But having said that, as I shared earlier, even the units which were energy dependent had somehow managed to remain standard for other lenders also. That is what our take is, that there has not been massive defaults because citing this crisis and they're facing the problem. They might have faced the problem in the business, but somehow they managed to stay afloat. In our case, it was a combination of both. The borrowers being very resilient and we being very cautious. And in terms of the sectors, it was all energy dependent sectors such as restaurants and
manufacturing units where their dependency on gas and natural gas was there. So such businesses, we had already started looking at it a little cautiously, even the export oriented businesses.
No, but as the crisis continues, have you seen any incremental impact on demand for loans and any particular pocket where there could be possible asset quality stress because this is kind of lingering on for quite some time now?
So I'll call it eligible demand definitely decreased. Because when we talk about demand, there will be so many people who will be opting for credit in such current situation. But once you limit and you tighten the credit screen, the eligible demand decreases. The login to disbursement also decreases that we face in Q1 and Q2 to a certain extent. And currently, once it was stabilized in between, that came back to normal. Now it has to be seen that how it really plays once again in this quarter.
Okay. But that doesn't derail your 20 to 25% kind of a growth guidance, right?
No, hopefully no, because that has been not that substantial to cause that impact. It results into more field work and more hard work at the ground level to get the borrowers who are eligible for the loans. But somehow we'll be in a position to maintain this 20-25% as demonstrated last quarter and this quarter.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meghna Luthra from InCred Equities. Please proceed.
Hi. So thank you for the opportunity and also for the additional disclosure. That's very helpful. One question is, sir, what is the write-off number this quarter and last quarter?
Yes, we'll just get you that number from now.
So, and sir, I just wanted some more color on how is demand shaping up in terms of segments? Like, are we still conservative in textile, FMCG, and in especially our top states? Or what is driving demand with segments?
Yes. I think the cautious segments that we had, we are still a little watchful on those. But other than that, overall, I think across the board, demand has been stable. There has been no outlier in terms of high demand or, you know, high drop-off in terms of any sector. We are cautious, as earlier mentioned, we have had a cautious stand on some of these businesses since the US tariff issue, and that stand still is there. So overall, MEL, SME, across the board, manufacturing and trading businesses, the demand is more or less stable. Due to the input, cost also going up, working capital demand also has gone up for certain businesses. And but at the same time, they get underwritten against little more stricter policy parameters. So we are balancing both. We are balancing both the demand as well as the policy parameters to filter out to the best extent possible.
On the write-off, in March, it was 29. In June, it is 19, which was offset by higher ECL provisioning. So if you see, more or less, our impairment in March or June is same, because as I shared with you that we increased stage 1 and stage 2 provisioning by 5 basis points. So that is that entailed around 6.5 to 7 crores. And that kept the impairment cost almost the same, that is March and June.
Got it. So, this would be like a credit cost range that we can see throughout the year, right?
Come again? Credit cost?
This range, we can take it like for the full year, we'll see this range sort of a credit cost, 1.5-1.6%.
It will be range bound between 1.25 to 1.75%. I will reiterate, it all depends upon the asset configuration that is pursued during the year. The right way of looking at it will be what are the ROAs we are in a position to maintain despite our operational and the credit cost, for the very reason that every product has its own characteristics in terms of the operational cost and the credit cost. But the range will be anywhere between 1.25 to 1.75%.
Okay, sir. And lastly, where do we see our direct distribution book in the next 1.5 years?
I think it should be in the range of close to 70% from current 66-67%, around 70-72%.
Got it. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deep Vakil from Bandhan AMC. Please proceed.
Am I audible? Hello.
Can you please come closer to the device?
Yeah. Am I audible now? Hello.
Yes.
Hello? Yeah. Congratulations, yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, only one point. I think there is one press release relating to change in management. So I understand it is broadly to do with designation change. Can you give some clarity here and what the changes are or some color on that?
It's the designation change. As I shared in the opening remark, that CRO Nishan Jain has been elevated as Director Operations, and Aspel Head Credit SME RSE has been elevated as Chief Risk Officer. So that is more of an internal change.
Okay. And sir, there is one footnote which says, I mean, MAS has exercised an option of redemption of 3,33,000, I mean, optionally convertible preference shares of the subsidiary in cash, which is 25% of your total outstanding convertible preference shares. So what is the amount of exposure here, and can you just give clarity on this transaction?
So MAS as a parent invests regularly as per the requirement in the subsidiary. So there was an OCPS done to the exact amount. I'll have to check.
Ten crores
of OCPS was done, which was to be redeemed over a period of time or converted into equity. If you see, the capital adequacy currently at MRHFL is more than 37%. So that company not requiring capital did not keep that OCPS conversion, and hence it was refunded to the parent.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Done.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and congrats on a really good quarter. I joined the call a little late. So just had a question on the growth front. So since MSE as well as SME has seen decent growth this quarter, shall we see the overall growth for the full year closer to your higher side of the range of 20 to 25% for the full year?
A very high possibility, yeah. We are working on that. Quite optimistic. Can't predict, but you are thinking on the right lines. Yes, it's like that.
Got it. And the second question was on the credit cost side. So while it has stayed broadly stable at versus last quarter's credit cost, so have we created any macro event-related provisions? And what will be the normalized levels for the rest of the year and for full year?
I think a sort of buffer, yes, because if you see our standard asset, we have increased from 0.65 to 0.7%, entailing close to 6 to 7 crores of higher impairment. And one of the reasons for the higher impairment is our higher on-book assets. If you see, our on-book assets has increased by 8%, and whereas our overall AUM has increased by 5%. So when the assets remains on-book, we have to have a provision on that. Plus, the percentage of provision has also changed. So you can say that we have a sort of a buffer in that kind. And as far as the trend is concerned, it can be anywhere between 1.25 to 1.75, as I shared earlier. And it is dependent on the product mix that constitutes the AUM from time to time, because each product has different characteristics. For example, commercial vehicle picking up will give me higher yields, but will have higher operational costs and higher credit costs. So at the end of the day, what we give the guidance is that our assets will be so created, which creates an ROAs anywhere between 2.75 to 3.25%. On the aspiration is to reach 3% plus. And we would monitor each and every asset on the yields it generate. So this is how the quality and the credit cost will be managed and monitored.
Yes, Shripal, I have a response. I'll take the next question from the line of Sanjana Sivaram from DAM Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. And congrats on a good set of numbers. I wanted to know on our housing subsidiary, what would be some things we are doing that could help us take the growth to the next level? I feel currently we're still a little bit behind our guidance. So what is something we'll do? And at what kind of credit costs are we operating this book?
Right. So, yes, on the housing side, two things that we have been working on is in execution is one is how we can get the efficiencies up in our current distribution that we have, and second is expanding the distribution. So southern part of the country, especially Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, are two areas which we are targeting starting from this quarter itself. So some of the planning has been done and we are working on recruitment. Hopefully we will start seeing some result coming from these geographies in Q3 and Q4. So adding of distribution and also working on rationalization of TAT and improving the processes as well. So we are working hard that how we can get better better visibility by comparing ourselves to the peers as well, that how we can move faster in terms of our overall processing. These are two, three things that are at the top of the priority list in terms of changes to get the AUM growth a little more moving robustly.
Okay.
Our average yield will be closer to around 14%.
Sorry, I asked what would be the average credit cost on this book?
Average credit cost is around 0.5%.
Okay, and just one more thing that now our off-book growth was slow this quarter and we've fallen a bit under what our target mix is. So was there something to call out this quarter and do we expect the off-book growth to also catch up from going forward this year?
So off-book is a form of liability for us and it is dynamic in nature. So if we get other lines of credit which are maybe better priced or better placed in terms of asset placement, we may choose those during the quarter. So nothing much to read into the off-book percentage going down. That is for us normal course of business. And as new sanctions come in, new assets get ready, we look at that also. Ankit also would like to come in on this.
Yeah, so the strategy remains same to keep the off-book at 20% to 25%. Nothing changes. It's just that a quarter or year whereby if there is a better cost of liability, at a better cost liability is available, we can take that first and then off book later. Just that.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So thank you all for joining and sparing your valuable time. As always and as shared earlier also, that we remain committed to our guidance of growing anywhere between 20 to 25%, hopefully at the higher end of the spectrum, just doubling our AUM and profitability every 3 to 4 years and majority through internal accruals. So this will be a majority of non-dilutive growth and we continue to pursue this. So Team Mass remains committed to its mission of excellence through endeavors. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.